it reminded me of something I heard today. While I was cutting my grass, I was listening to the book of Romans, and it went through the whole book of Romans, and it got to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the part that reminded me of that is verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua. And, you know, whenever I got to that part, it struck me that, you know, in order for that sacrifice to be acceptable, it says here it has to be through Yeshua. It has to be through Jesus. It can't be through your pastor, through your neighbor, through your church. It has to be through Jesus, because he's the guy, he's the one who paid the price for it. And, you know, and I wonder, why would it, you know, why would he put that there? You know, and anyway, Paul addressed this, because you wouldn't think this could possibly be going on in church amongst believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. But let's look what, because Paul had to address this issue. Let's take a look at it in 1 Corinthians verse 11, we'll start. He says, "For I have been informed concerning you, brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided?" It's a good question. Has Christ been divided? "Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Now listen to what Paul says. He says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you would say you were baptized in my name." You see, Paul wanted, he knew what was going on. Paul didn't want any of that. He said, "I know where my salvation comes from. It's not from any of these guys, nor is it from you, but it's from the Son. That's who it's from." And you know, I just found it interesting that I was listening to this today, and that's the part that stuck out to me today while I was cutting grass, and again whenever I read it here. Because he says, it's only acceptable. You can be as spiritual as you can possibly be, but if it's not through Jesus, it means nothing. Can't be through your church. It can't be through your pastor, nor your neighbor, nor nobody. You know, our job as believers is not to recruit people for the church. It's to recruit people for the kingdom. We don't point them to our pastor. We don't point them to our church, but we point them to Christ. Because he's the way, the truth, in the light. Thank you.
So like Brother Herman was saying, we got a great teacher. We got one that's immortal, the only, the first fruits, all those who'll be raised in the resurrection. And there's two paths to take, and we talked about repentance as a U-turn from the way we were going. And, you know, I've been thinking about that the past couple of days since we talked about that. Pastor talked about it on Thursday. You know, repent is a turn away from the way you was going. His death was evident. It's the path to destruction. There's no coming back. But there's a way to eternal life. And when you turn around and go the opposite way, I mean, those are the habits that we learned. That's all we knew. And when you go the other way and you repent, it doesn't all just fall into your lap. You know, I was thinking about those guys that come here from Costa Rica, ladies. I don't know their language. When I go over there, I'm constantly trying to stay with an interpreter to understand what they're saying. I don't understand what they're saying. I know one or two little words. You know, just one or two. You know, when you repent and you turn and you're going towards life, this is a whole new game. This is something I got to start learning, how to sit there and spend time with it. How many know whenever you start learning something and you set it aside for a while, you tend to forget some things? And you go, oh, I remember that, but I don't remember how to do this part. Sometimes you can't even remember your password if you don't go back and look up your password for so long. You forget. You know, I was thinking about my daughter this morning on the way out on a fishing trip this morning. You know, it doesn't like put any fear into my heart these past couple of years about my daughter, because as long as I know I'm doing the right things before the Father, I know my family's shielded. The only time I get in fear or threat towards her is when I know I'm doing wrong towards the Father. When I know I'm sinning, I'm wrong, I know there's an openness for anything to come in. And it's my fault and it's my responsibility. But I was thinking about the last couple of years that it's been set, except for those times, like, she's good. She's got it. She's good. And thinking about everything. But then I started thinking, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of fathers and mothers that lost their child before they even got to make it to being 17. You know, that's a lot to be thankful for. You know, I mean, in one part of your mind, just like death, you put it to the back, like, oh, it might not happen to me at any time. I might live to be 80, 90, 100. I don't know that. And you just live on every day like it's going to be. And, you know, I think about my daughters, I go like it's every day it's going to be. But could it? I got to be thankful for all the times all the way up to today. I was looking at the pictures today when she held her first little Mickey Mouse fishing pole. And I'm like, oh, I remember that day. And it just made me be thankful. We've got to be thankful. So when you wake up in the morning, it's not just another day of work. It's not just here we go again and a complaint. Man, we've got to be thankful. You know, teach me to number my days. Be thankful for today. And I just was thinking about that language, those Costa Rican, the Coasties, and we got to constantly stay in this. We got to constantly learn. We got to constantly study the language. Immortality is not a freebie. You got to be kidding me. To me, I found this has been the most complicated and difficult task I ever took on in my entire life. I've taken on charter fishing. I've taken on taxidermy. It's tough to get certain things. You hit bumps in the road, but ain't nothing like immortality, eternal life. There's an ongoing thing and an ever-learning thing. To get to a false finish line, to see the lies of the enemy and continually grow, and see the enemy constantly throw more lies to get us off that path. It's a constant, constant toss of deception at us because he doesn't want us on that path. And if we don't constantly study, like Pastor said, if we don't constantly come on Thursdays and set our time aside to do this continually and set our mind on other things and get off track a little bit, that's like hitting that kicking our foot against the pricks. Sooner or later, we're going to get ourselves injured. We're going to get lied to. And we're going to be way off somewhere on some other path thinking we're okay, lying to ourselves. And we're off destroyed somewhere on the brink of it, right? So we got to constantly stay in here and study. And I was just talking about the two different paths, the path to eternal life or the path to destruction. It's clear in Galatians. You see it in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, the more you're with it, the more you're studying it, the more you're practicing it, the more you're doing it, the more you'll veer towards the Spirit rather than gratifying the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh want you to go back to what was habit. You know, it's hard to change. Nobody likes change. Everybody likes things the way it is. Before Hurricane Katrina, everybody liked it the way it was. Tell me people didn't go out of their mind and crazy after Hurricane Katrina. Nobody liked change. All my stuff's gone. It ain't going to be like it was. Heartbroken. People committing suicide. People going out of their mind because change. You got to change. When you turn over to eternal life, you got to change. There's a serious change in your life. There's things and lessons you're going to learn that you ain't never learned before. There's days that your heart's going to be pounding because what you just learned, now you got to perform. Here you are in the spotlight. You got a person you got to be salt and light in front of. But if I just come to church and say I was good and never learn it, what kind of salt and light can I be? If I don't learn it myself, overcome it, and then perform it in front of somebody else. It's easy to stomp your foot on the ground and beat the car up when something goes wrong or somebody tells you something and say something right back. That's easy. That was habit. That was the road to destruction. But what about swallowing pride and going in a way that's to eternal life? And that's what it says right here. It says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit. See, you practicing and doing that, you're more want to swallow your pride and go towards love and right and not holler something back than the other way. It says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. What is your goals you want to do? You want eternal life, right? We want peace in our life, right? We want joy. We want somebody else to come to Christ, right? So it says, the flesh tries to keep you from doing those things. But if you're up to par, and you're practicing, and you're doing these things, it's not really that hard. It says, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, and when I say Spirit, there's many spirits. The Spirit has to line up with the Word of God. If it's the Word of God and His truth, that's the Spirit you're walking by, then it's His Spirit. But if it doesn't line up with the Spirit, it may be another spirit you're listening to, right? They got spirits of jealousy. They got spirits of hatred, right? Spirit's not a ghost. It's an action. It's what you say. It's what you do. The spirit of love. The spirit of peace. The spirit of joy, right? The spirit of kindness. It lines up with His Word. So we're talking about God's Spirit here. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And here's some of them to name. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. A lot of people avoid those. Oh, those are the big ones. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity. But then when you get to strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Do we get those sometimes? Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. We don't love our brother. We hate somebody. We don't want to talk to somebody. We're mad at them. It says, in things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not that road. That's back to doing our regular habits. See, that's the easy things that we don't want to change. That's habit. We just want to do that, and then we go to church and show up and put a pretty smile on, like nothing's going wrong, but go back to that. But we're lying and fooling ourselves if we keep going back to that when we're at home, right? And I'm guilty of it, and a lot of us are all guilty of it. But how many know when you repent after you've had the blowout, you fix the tire, get it back on the road and get back on that route again and tell the Lord, help me, strengthen me. I'm going to get it right this time. Well, do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, see, this is His spiritual. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. God is faithful to us. Everything He says, He does. Everything He said, He's never lied to us. He's not shady. He's always been honest and true to His word. He's always faithful. Every time we've done wrong, even when we didn't know the truth, when we was deceived quite a few years back before we knew the truth about certain doctrines being false, He gave us grace. He gave us love, compassion. He held us up. He loved us as His children. And He was faithful to us. And we, on the other hand, He expects us to be the same, faithful to Him, right? Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, there's our teacher, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Is it easy? No, it's not easy to break habits. But we got to. Why? Because we don't want to perish. Right? We want eternal life. Right? We want to live. We want to see our loved ones that live their life and endure to the end, who are dead right now and one day to be raised from the dead. We won't see those. We won't experience anything that He's talked about, the kingdom. All the times we said, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Woo! We win. We win. When in the end, you didn't endure and make it, all the shouts and the accolades was for nothing. It was a waste of time, right? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step. Keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So it's tough for change. It really is. But you stay with it. You're going to have some blowouts. We'll refix them and adjust them. And after a while, you have it on the road. You'll be on the road to eternal life. You know, our teacher learned. Yeshua, our Messiah, he learned. It said he grew. He grew in wisdom and stature. He didn't have it already. He didn't attain it already. He wasn't just God Almighty. He was Yeshua HaMashiach. He was the Son of God. He was the second Adam. And he had the choir knowledge. And he got it from the Torah. There's some things he said he didn't know. You know why? Because he wasn't God. He was Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the Son of God. And he had to do exactly what we got to do. Our teacher was a perfect teacher. He made it. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, rooting us on. He's going to make it this time. He's going to make it this time. And he stands before the Father. In between us and the Father. When his anger could destroy us, he stands before the Father and says, Father, I love him. They're going to make it this time. How many appreciate Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, standing in our stead, rooting us on, our mediator. You're going to make it. You're going to endure to the end. And so he had to grow in it. And there's some things he didn't know. Because he made those statements. And that's how we find it when we read and we do our study and do our homework. And find out the things by which he grew and learned, things he said. He even said to them, he says, when they asked, they said, about being good. He says, good? I'm not good. Don't call me good. There's only one that's good. God is good. He's the one that knows everything. I don't know everything. He knows it all, right? Only God is good and perfect. I'm not perfect. Yeshua had a lot to learn. And so in our obedience and staying steady with the Torah portions, Bible studies, dedicating our time, it tells on us. It really does. So we're going to stay steady with it. There were some other things that I come across in this Torah portion. I noticed in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. It says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a lamp may be kept burning regularly. Do you know how we got to keep our lamps burning regularly? We got to keep oil in our lamp. We can't just keep some hoorah religion, some kind of tradition. We got to go with the pure word of God. Because man-made traditions taint it. And it's been proven time and time again that it leads us on the wrong road. The Father's the pure word. His word is pure. It's the pure oil for our lamps. And so Yeshua HaMashiach even told us. He told us a story about the virgins. The ones who had their oil in their lamps and had them burn. The ones who didn't, they missed out. We got to keep them burning. We got to keep fresh oil in our lamps daily. We got to wake up in the morning. Pull something out of there. Dig it up. You may not feel like it. Get up. Your first 60 seconds should be, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're so worthy, Father. Your kingdom come. We need your kingdom, your perfect kingdom to come in this corrupted world. We need you, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for not leading us into temptation, but delivering us from evil. And there the prayer goes on. It's a start. And once you start, it just becomes you, your relationship with you and your Father and the Son. And here we go. And you start finding things. Wow. Connecting the dots. It's the kingdom. It's coming. Getting ready. Got to keep these rules applied because there won't be this other stuff in the kingdom. That road I was taking before, those aren't in the kingdom. Those get tossed out and burned. But those that are going with these rules, according to his kingdom rules, that's what we're practicing for to be in. And we're going to be proven. We just heard it all in the Torah portion in the Brit Hadi Shah tonight. What's going to happen in the end? It was all there. And so I'm excited and I'm ready for the next Torah portion. I'll be in prayer for our pastors. They're out for a little while. They'll be back. Anybody has anything else? Staff meeting in the morning at 9. Okay. And worship practice at 8 before that. And I love y'all. Thank you, Father, for everybody. In Yeshua's name, amen.